to Set Meals, a weekly food show about the moments that surround mealtimes. I'm Samuel Ashton.
And I'm Taylor Fawcett, and we're back.
If you're new to Set Meals, a food podcast led by the insatiable hunger of its hosts.
A food podcast led by two friends that communicate almost exclusively through the medium of WhatsApp voice notes and grunts over buckets of fried chicken.
Welcome!
Welcome to our world, a world where you can sit, take in the atmosphere, sip on that Coke and order another bowl of tonkotsu ramen.
A world where it's as much about the act of going out for dinner as the actual dinner itself.
At its core, this podcast is the audio embodiment of our friendship and, frankly, an excuse to go to dinner more.
The foundations of a strong and stable friendship.
Last week was rough.
We got fully in the Christmas spirit.
So much spirit. So much everything, to be honest.
It's got the post... builder's tea, like, film.
Last week, we jumped headfirst into our Christmas menu item guide that, for one reason or another, saw us end the day feeling full and frankly dreadful.
Wasn't really one reason or another, though, was it? It was because we'd eaten seven meals in 4 hours.
And it's not even remotely Christmassy.
This week, though, pulling away from the Christmas spirit, we're celebrating the thing that we celebrate the rest of the year.
Chicken. And due to restraints regarding time, the restaurant section this week is very much on the go, on the fly.
No resting in that restaurant.
Correct. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter.
At Set Meals Podcast.
For visual cues, Taylor looking disgusted about KFC Christmas item menu.
Hideous.
Things. Absolutely awful. Some really bad photos in that photo set. Let's get into the fucking show.
Let's do it.
Hi, Taylor.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. It is 9:45 a.m. on Wednesday, the 18th of December.
I feel like I've been up for about, I was going to say 3 hours. That's how long, that's how long I've been up for.
Yeah,
about 10 hours.
I woke up to voice notes from you today.
Yeah, which is...
unlike you.
Mm.
It is. You were punchy this morning. You were up, out, at 'em.
Yeah.
Brisk outside, feeling good. What's happening? What's been... have you gone over last week's absolutely abysmal feeling?
Yes.
Yeah.
About this morning.
Yeah, honestly.
It took a long time.
A lot of good feedback for that Christmas episode.
Yeah, I heard one person told me it was their favourite episode ever.
Here we are. And it was our least favourite to record.
And that person was you.
I went to Braun this week.
Oh!
Much like you went to Braun last week. Last week, a week before last.
2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Maybe three.
I went to Braun and I had a very nice time. As did you.
Off the back of my recommendation, off
it
the back of your recommendation.
Fantastic. Correct. Yeah, correct. Very pleasant. We won't go into it too much detail, but it was a very enjoyable Sunday afternoon, Negroni at midday, ahead of a Christmas party, and I had the tiramisu that everyone raves about, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Didn't have the anchovies though, did you?
No, I didn't actually. People I was with didn't fancy them, didn't get them, will go back.
You're a fool.
I am a fool. And also, you get to sit by the kitchen. Did you go in the back room?
No, we were in the front room.
Back room, little kitchen spot. The light was streaming through the window. Really nice atmosphere in there. Cracked up a bottle of red. Staff was really good. Vibe was really good. Bill was very big. Very, very, very large bill a week before Christmas. So, you know.
Hey, it's December though.
That's how we roll, baby.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been saying this week?
I have done absolutely nothing of note food-wise this week.
Mm.
But the one thing... I say absolutely nothing. The one thing I did do was so of note that it overtook my lack of other stuff.
Go ahead.
Which is I cooked what I think is going to become my staple pasta dish.
Big shout.
Bon Appetit recipe.
Classic. Marley bars.
Classic Marley bars.
Marley bars. What are the names of Bon Appetit people? Chris Morocco.
Chris Morocco. And
Andy Baragani.
Like a weeknight pasta.
Mm.
Which is perfect for
There's
December.
Always space for one. There's always space for one.
Using shop-bought tortellini.
Mm.
Which I always struggle with.
Okay.
So it's a staple in our house because it's just easy.
Mm-hmm.
But I never know what to do it with. I end up doing it with like a Lloyd Gross. But do you know what I mean?
That's poor.
It's just poor. But you have it when you can't be arsed.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Anyway, I've hacked it.
Go on.
Right. All you're doing, you're buying the most simple flavour filled tortellini you can. Mm-hmm. Ideally just cheese.
Mm-hmm.
We had ricotta mm-hmm. and spinach because it was
as neutral
as possible. Mm-hmm. Melt loads of butter in a pan.
That sounds like an unlikely way to start, but yeah, go on.
With like 5 cloves of garlic.
Mm-hmm. Class.
Walnuts. Put walnuts in there and just toast them off.
Very festive.
And all the butter goes like brown.
Are walnuts festive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the butter goes brown
mm-hmm.
and it like makes this sort of like nutty burnt butter thing. Chuck a load of sage in.
Mm.
Crisp up the sage. Put the pasta in. You cook pasta. For like 2 minutes, put it in, put it all together. That is it.
That's
it. Get parmesan.
That is a hack.
It is absolutely amazing.
That is a hack.
I mean, it's mainly just melted butter, but it's
that's why it's amazing.
I've already decided I'm going to cook it for my family on Christmas Eve.
Nice. The sort of the millennial approach to a pre-Christmas dinner. Mm. It's like, oh, I'm cultured. I'm a bit Italian. I live in the big city. I'm trying things. I've got the internet.
Yeah.
I found a recipe. Nice.
It's made me decide that in the new year, I'm going to get fully into pasta.
Mm. Oh, making your own?
Making my own.
Buying a little pasta maker thing?
Yeah.
I like that.
I'm going to go Amazon post-Christmas sale.
Yes.
Buy a pasta maker.
Nice.
Buy all the shit. And that's going to be my thing.
Mm.
Actually, this week is all about new things for me in the new year.
Okay.
Because my other new thing that I've decided I'm going to get into is buffalo wings. I said maybe last week or the week before that I've always been the sort of person that can like give everything a go,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not an expert at anything.
Yeah, you're a jack of all trades, much like me.
There is nothing, I've never been like an obsessive person and I've never had like one hobby or like something that I'm really into. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I sort of try some stuff and think next year I've decided it's going to be my year of getting really into shit.
Nice.
And I think my first thing is buffalo wings. Is that allowed?
Yeah, although getting into pasta I think is easier only because you have quite a small flat. And I feel like buffalo wings are quite hard to nail when there's a lot of oil, and a lot of high temperature oil, and there's a small flat.
I don't necessarily just mean cooking them though.
Oh, trying them.
Sampling.
Oh, fine.
Finding out about
100%.
Them. 100%. Bit of history. I've actually got a bit of history for you today.
Great. Do more than manageable then. Why buffalo wings?
Because they're the tastiest thing in the world.
I will agree with you that they are, when I was in the States a few weeks ago, buffalo wings at a bar with a cold beer in like a dive bar. Honestly, one of the biggest, most satisfying things you can eat. In that environment, amazing. There's nothing like that here. They only serve like, you have like having a sausage roll or like a scotch egg is not the same at all.
Yeah, I agree. I think what I don't like about it here, I'm going to give you some history in a second because I've done some research.
Go on.
But what I don't like about
Taylor,
it here...
bringing it for the pod this week.
I've actually contributed this week.
I like that.
Here, you have like street food places that do like wings and they do all different, like all the different things. And buffalo is like the top menu option. Mm-hmm. So people like skip past it because everyone's like, oh, I don't want buffalo. I'm going to have the Louisiana shack.
Yeah.
Cherry roasted.
Or like the honey and soy
barbecue.
Button, whatever. Yeah.
But I've decided that whenever I see a wing spot, if there's buffalo on the menu, I'm getting some.
Give me some history.
Okay.
Give me some background, baby, because I don't know nothing about them.
No, I've never really understood what buffalo, like I know what buffalo is, but I never really knew what.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was like a southern thing, but buffalo's in New York. It's one of those things where there's a few different stories as to how they originated, obviously, but like the espresso martini.
All the best food.
But there seems to be one story that is generally considered as accepted, which is that it was invented by Teresa Bellissimo.
Nice. There's the Italian accent we got ridiculed for a few weeks ago, but go on.
There will be more. Teresa Bellissimo.
Good.
At the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York in 1964. They're not that old. Barack Obama is famously older than a buffalo wing.
Wow, okay.
Not a specific wing. There isn't a wing that's been
around.
I mean, there probably is in a horrible museum somewhere. So that's the general... I mean, there's a few theories, but I'm not going to go into them.
Did they create the recipe?
So, apparently what happened was... There's four main conspiracies. You love conspiracies. There's four main ones. Three of them are that it was invented by this woman, just their family arguing about how she did it. The Bellissimos, big Italian family, and they can't agree on how it was. Her story is basically that one day there was a delivery that was supposed to be chicken necks.
Right, okay.
That's a normal thing.
Delicious. Yeah.
For their pasta.
Right.
Chicken neck pasta. And it didn't turn... Instead of necks, turned up, wings turned up. So she improvised and... Basically, melted a load of butter, put some cayenne pepper and some vinegar, and that was it.
I'm sorry. If Nonna had cracked open some cayenne pepper, some butter and some vinegar on my pasta with some chicken necks, I ain't touching that.
No.
That sounds vile.
But apparently she just...
That sounds like a bad truth.
Yeah, but this is supposedly the truth. And also... The whole blue cheese and celery thing, is just what she had in the kitchen. It's got nothing to do with like flavour. I mean, I guess it's cooling with the chili. But apparently she just...
She stumbled onto a winner.
Just while I'm here on this... Good. While I'm here on this page, anyone that doesn't really know exactly what a buffalo wing is, you know, someone like my mum. It's basically a chicken wing that's not been breaded. It's just been deep fried. and then they smother it in a sauce which is made up of cayenne pepper, hot sauces of varying varieties,
which is where a
lot of variation comes in, and melted butter. So this is a timeline for you, invented in 64, just they're sort of around in sports bars for, you know, basically 20, 25 years, and then they start getting big with places like Buffalo Wild Wings, which was founded in 82, and then Pizza Hut and Domino's and stuff start adding Buffalo Wings to their menu. Then 93 comes along, year of my birth, and they decided for me to invent wing competitions.
Okay.
Which is the Wing Bowl Eating Contest in Philadelphia was the first one, which is now, quote, the most prestigious competitive eating circuit event for wings.
Christ. All right, so wings have been about for time.
Yeah.
What happens between that point and now, though?
Generally, not a lot.
No.
I couldn't find too much about them making their way across the globe.
I think Buffalo Wings is quite a hard sell in the modern, you know, modern age of sort of wellness and well-being and all that sort of stuff. It's quite a hard food to sell in, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think with the prevalence of fake meats and chicken and stuff, I think that it will continue to decline.
Yeah.
Proper wings.
I disagree heavily with cauliflower wings. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just don't call them wings.
They're not wings, are they?
I don't disagree with the concept, just don't call them wings.
Yeah, I agree.
Cauliflowers don't have wings.
Okay, so off the back of this, we were thinking about our favourite wings in town.
Yes. You're always an avid lover of the beer and burger wings.
I like a beer and burger wing. They're called Soul Wings?
Well,
beer
that's...
Burger?
Yeah,
one of them.
Buffalo and there's Soul.
Yeah, see, I don't love the Buffalo Wings and beer and burger that much, but I do like the Soul ones. The Soul are like a soy, sesame kind of honey glaze.
Like a sweet, sticky guy, aren't they?
But they do vary heavily in how they give them to you because they are sometimes... When you get on Deliveroo, they go a bit runny sometimes and they overcook the wings slightly. But they are fucking unreal. They're delicious. Especially when you're a bit pissed. Fantastic.
So the wing spots, basically this all came about, this whole subject, because there's a new place around the corner from my flat called Peck Peck, which is the chicken branch of a fish and chip chain in London called Sutton & Sons, which is like well-established, excellent fish and chips. It's really some of the only good fish and chips you can get in London, I think, personally.
Agree.
Anyone that disagrees... Let us know. But they've just opened a chicken place called Peck Peck, and they do some buffalo wings that are so vinegary that honestly they knock your socks off. You know when you eat a really salt and vinegary crisp and it makes your face do that? They like that in a good way.
Yeah, sick.
But I basically had to take the bin out like immediately after I'd put the leftover thing in the recycling because it smelled so vinegary. Like we were sat on the sofa and it was like that.
Just had a wing that is so vinegary. I've had to take the bin outside immediately afterwards.
The other thing about wings is that they're supposed to be snapped in half, so it looks like a mini drumstick rather than, you know, like a wing shape. This is what I don't like about
beer
and burger wings, is that they include all the different parts of the wing.
Yeah, I agree.
But apparently, in the States, it's supposed to just be the drumstick looking part of the wing, which
you
is
say,
better.
You say that, though, but when I was in New York, our good friend Alexis, I was eating a buffalo wing, actually, the first time I ever met him.
Oh,
and he ridiculed me for not... breaking it in half, you know, the two bones.
Yeah, and then just
breaking it and then eating them singly. Because I was kind of like tonguing the middle bit, mind the phrase, and trying to get all the meat out. And he was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Crack it open, get them individually.
Do you ever suddenly become really aware of how you're eating something?
Yes.
Do you know when you're eating a sandwich and you can't bite the thing off and it's just like sucking all the stuff out the middle of the sandwich and you're sort of. That is disgusting.
That sounded disgusting.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I know.
And then you make eye contact with someone that you're sat with and you're like,
oh God. Yeah.
Yeah, just to sum up those, Peck Peck, really, really good buffalo wings.
I'm going to go to Peck Peck.
For me, maybe
tonight or tomorrow.
For me, absolutely delicious. And frankly, I've now classed wings as guilt-free because it's just chicken in it.
No, here we go.
There's no butter.
There we are.
It's just chicken.
Also, how bad is butter for you?
Really? It's
fine.
Good. It's good for you. And I actually then the next day ordered some beer and burger wings. I was working late and I had some bit of buffalo wings and I agree with you, they're overcooked, they're a little bit dry and frankly, and you know I love beer and burger, I was a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, it's a shame. Polarisingly, you got to try the smoking goat wings finally.
Yeah, I did.
We did it. What did you think?
I absolutely loved them.
Yeah. Again, very different wing.
It's a very different wing experience.
It's sort of like a sweet fish sauce, chili fish sauce kind of... Marinade? Sorry, I couldn't find the word marinade.
It's not a glaze, is it? It's like a...
deep fried, load of batter, really crispy.
Very sweet, but very hot as well.
Big wing.
Also a huge wing.
Massive wing.
I want to see the chicken this wing has come from.
That was the one thing, actually, that I was quite shocked by when we went back, because I don't remember them being that big. Because I hadn't had them for a good while before that, and I couldn't believe how big they were.
It's like if you had a wing and we chopped it off.
True.
That's how big it was.
Honestly,
it was
absolutely vast. Very enjoyable wing. Very, very good. Very satisfying. Perfect for... They are fit for purpose, and the purpose of them is to soak up alcohol. Very much so. In that setting... Good flavour.
I really like, it's almost like the batter on them is like, almost like treacly. Is it even batter, or is it just the way the skin is deep fried?
No, it is batter.
But it's like, it's because it's so sweet. It's like, it's almost like you're snapping it off like it's like baklava pastry or something. It's like got that sickly in it. Oh, it was really good.
Thanks.
Finally answered the question. Where are the wings? Inside me.
Your voice is so husky.
I'm fucked.
We're living in a post goat world. You're winged.
Bus.
You've checked it. You've done it. We've done it. We've completed it. Pod's over. The pod is over. We've completed it. See you later.
Delicious.
Real good.
And back to the original. We went to Wingstop. We actually got sent some Wingstop vouchers, basically off the back of our. Excellent food chat. We got sent some Wingstop vouchers from the lovely people at Wingstop, and one opened down the road from us. So we thought, what better week to go?
The smell of marijuana, Dalston Kingsland, is absolutely pungent. It is pungent.
Wingstop is big in America?
Well, this is it. I don't really know how big Wingstop is, because it kind of like it's one of those American brands that comes over to London and you think, oh, this must be massive. And I'm like, well, I've never actually heard about you before. I think Rick Ross does have some involvement in it. I'm almost certain, because I feel like when it came over, Wahlburger also came over to London not far after it. And it was funny that like two of these like really kind of weird chains had come over when they were backed by celebrities. So Wingstop is this like ultra trend. It's so trendy.
Very streetwear.
If you could imagine a wing place opening for the one single pure reason to like cater streetwear parties, Wingstop is like that company. Even the font is the same as the Nike font.
Yeah, which I don't understand how they've got away with.
All I can see is the Nike font. And I don't know why they've gone for it.
It's very bizarre. They opened one on Shaftesbury Avenue like last year, and they've just opened the second one in Dalston. Very different areas. And we went down, saw what was happening, ordered our... What do we order? The classic, guys?
The classic buffalo wings.
We'll get eight for buffalo.
Yeah, eight
and,
wings.
Eight wings, and then...
We'll go boneless on the Louisiana rub.
Boneless Louisiana barbecue rub bites.
Yes. I don't like a boneless chicken product.
Generally, I don't dislike it, but I prefer on the bone.
It makes me feel a bit wrong, because I'm like, what process has that gone through to do that? It's just a bit weird, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm already eating shit. I don't need it to be like more processed. Best bit, got gloves.
There's not a lot of restaurants you go to where you get given a uniform to eat it.
I got your uniform. What?
Gloves!
I underplayed how satisfied I was going to be with gloves on at post-meal. It was so good. Talk to me about the woman next to you eating her chips with a fork, regardless of wearing gloves.
No, not eating her chips with a fork.
Eating wings with a fork?
Eating a wing with a fork,
oh,
Sam. That's why I was astounded.
The lady next to us eating wings with a fork. It's time to leave. She's got a fork. They give you gloves. They give you gloves. And she picks it up with a fork.
I mean that's ridiculous.
I was actually quite impressed.
Yeah, they weren't bad. It wasn't bad at all.
Also, the
smell of like the extractor fans and everything must just pump out the smell into the front entrance, because when you walk up Kingsland Road, you can very much smell that chicken shop grease smell on the street. It's like a chunk of the street just stinks, and it is a bit off-putting.
The smell, much like the smell of marijuana on Kingsland Road, is intensely strong. It's that sort of chip fat smell. Obviously, chicken fat, oil, whatever you cook deep-fried chicken in, whatever oil that is. I'm guessing something like canola oil or peanut oil. Who knows? Maybe I'll fact-check that.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
No, but he's told me what he wants,
okay.
So I've got it. One smoked salmon and cream cheese bagel. And then... Can I do an egg and cheese?
Egg and cheese,
yes, please. And I'll do a salt beef as well, please.
You got mustard and pickup?
Yes, please.
Right, restaurant section this week.
It's not, is it, really?
Yeah, sort of.
Sometimes we forget we have this podcast, and then it gets to Wednesday and we think,
shit.
Oh, no.
Right, so bagel bake. This morning, you were up. We've already noted how bright and sprightly you were this morning.
I was up and ready to go.
I had to drop a little bit of bits and bobbers back to a hire company. You did the God's work and went to bagel bake.
So I got three bagels.
Right. What'd you get?
I got salt beef.
Did you really?
Because...
Fucking hell.
When you see it...
9:24 a.m.
When you see it... Well, when I ordered it, it was 8:24 a.m. You can't resist it, can you? The problem is now I've left it and it's starting to get a bit... thing. Anyway, I'm going to have that in a minute. I might save it for my lunch.
I can see the mustard oozing.
Yeah, the grease on it is absolutely insane.
The last time I went was probably about 6 weeks ago on a Saturday lunchtime, and the queue... was out the door on about 50 yards up the street.
Mm.
So I actually went to the one next door,
because
there are two next to each other, which is called Bagel Shop.
Okay.
I think the full name is Britain's First and Best Bagel Shop.
Not as good a name.
Bagel Bake, which is the red, white and blue branded one on the right hand side of that one as you look at it, which is famously open 24 hours, 7 days a week.
One of the very rare 24 hour food joints.
Well, that's the thing. It was quite early this morning. Mm-hmm. And in the winter, a lot of the sort of trendier, to use that word,
yeah,
coffee shops don't open till about 8.
They don't open at all early. A lot of them don't open till 9.
Yeah.
Jolene on Newington Green doesn't open until 10 through the week. 10 a.m. for a bakery.
Miserable, really.
Pathetic.
So it was early and we had shit to do. We had to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like a good option.
Yeah, definitely. The vibe in Bagel Bake that early is very satisfying, I think.
It was so chill.
You're like,
considering
you're
the last time I went, the queue was so many people. Yeah. And it's just like loads of people taking photos. And went in there, wasn't a single soul in there.
No. Bagel Bake is like a very old East London institution. And it's like white tiled... big mirror down the left-hand side, counter down the right-hand side. The bakery is right, like it's in the back. Basically, you see everyone prepping everything and sorting everything out and bringing like big pallets of bagels through, etc.
Yeah, they supply bagels to a lot of places that don't just do their own selling.
Yeah, and then you've got a few staff members running up and down the kind of behind the counter or whatever. Usually hectic when there's loads of people in there.
Mm-hmm.
I do imagine though it is quite calming.
It was very chill before 8 o'clock.
How are the staff?
Oh, you got something in the oven?
Huh?
You got something in the oven?
No, I'm just waiting for a friend to let me know.
Oh, not a problem.
I was expecting them to be completely aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because
the best places are.
I guess, to be honest, when you're dealing with 500 tourists, it's just in and out, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
When your items are £1.60 a pop, it's all about turnover. But actually, she was very pleasant.
Mm, nice.
The lady was so Irish that it took me 3 interactions to work out what accent she even had to then try and process that into the... It was very pleasing.
So just have your table and come to.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Great, thanks.
You got a milky tea, I
right,
know.
So I got a milky tea. I mean, again, it took me about three goes to explain to her that I just wanted a tea while I waited for you to let me know what you wanted.
Okay.
Stood and had a milky tea and just observed them in action.
Did you do the classic standing back to counter, looking into the mirror at everything happening and like having the sort of... It's almost like the geist of the mirror that you can just look yeah. around and have free reign.
Absolutely.
Satisfying, isn't it?
There was one point where, and talk about the staff being, they were passive, mm-hmm. I'll put it like that.
Okay.
They were just...
They were doing their thing.
They were doing their thing and nobody that came in really seemed to exist, because there was one point where the amount of time between these two people coming in and her turning around to take their... Well, she saw them when they came in, and this is how long the pause was. They just don't give a shit. They do not give a shit. And I love it.
We've got the bagels in front of us. I'm sorry, but the pick of the bunch in terms of terrible is the cheese and egg.
Looks terrible.
It's really not what I was expecting. I'm happy I got the salt beef now. To be honest, the smoked salmon one looks looking pretty dry as well. Should we eat them in the car, or do you want to eat them...
Let's have the egg and cheese one in the car, because I feel like that's the one I'm least looking forward
and
to.
And leave it in the car?
Yes.
Egg and cheese looks terrible. How much did that cost you? Oh, £3?
Egg and cheese was £1.60.
Oh, I mean,
£2.10.
All right. I mean, even then, pretty cheap, isn't it? That's sort of industrial estate, outside Stockport kind of prices, you know?
The egg is grey.
We've got a grey egg. We've got a bagel. All bagels look dry. Best ones aren't dry. How is it?
Do you want to buy it?
Yeah, go on. You do first.
The thing is, I want to get some egg and cheese, but... I need to like let it fall. Okay.
Good humble listener, when you think of a cheese and egg sandwich, bagel, breakfast sandwich, whatever you want to call it, you're thinking, well, I'm thinking folded scrambled eggs, mm-hmm. like the neat guys, mm-hmm. like not the like super fluffy guys, but like the neat fold, loads of butter, delicious, right? It was a melted like Kraft single, American cheese. Mm-hmm. Get that on top, right? What we've actually got in front of us is two hard-boiled eggs, thinly sliced up. Do you remember those egg slices you used to get? You still get them? Little plastic beds with the wires that cut through them? Amazing. And then two thick slices of cheddar cheese on a buttered bagel. It is honestly the most... It's Tory Britain.
Even if you... are the worst person in the kitchen and you're mm-hmm. one of those people that says, oh no, I'm terrible in the kitchen, I don't think you can make something as bad as that. Smoked salmon and cream cheese.
A classic.
An absolute staple.
An absolute classic. Honestly, at the moment, post New York, my favourite breakfast item.
I mean, the bagel is a thick guy.
They are thick and they are dry.
Mate, it's a dry bagel. It's not a bad bagel. It's not blowing my mind, I must admit.
No, but it's much better than the egg and cheese.
I mean... It's in a different league than the egg and cheese.
Correct.
Final bagel? What are we going for?
Tell you what, I'm really enjoying the salmon, actually.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You asked me not to get a... You said don't get a salt beef because you're not sure you could handle it in the morning.
Yes.
Got one anyway.
Yeah.
It was between that and chopped herring.
It is such a big bagel.
And frankly, with the potluck that it ended up being of the egg and cheese being so bad, I'm happy we got this one because at least it's edible. They piled the salt beef in.
Yeah. There's a lot in there.
So just for context, the most of the bagels in the shop that have kind of one item on or, you know, smoked salmon and cream cheese, for example,
mm-hmm.
they're all like less than £2.50.
Right.
Some of them are like £1.40. A plain one is just 40p.
Nice.
Like super cheap. The salt beef is £4.70.
So still
it's
cheap.
It's still very cheap, but it's like, it's more of a...
Primo item.
Yeah, I think if you were going to get any of the others for yourself, you'd get two probably.
Okay.
Whereas for the salt beef is packed.
I think the others are probably reflective of the time of day. Like a salmon and cream cheese and a cup of tea in there is probably sub £4.
Yes, it would be, yeah.
And that's like...
£3.20.
That's a good breakfast vibe, that. Mm. £3.20 for a breakfast in East London now. Cheap.
At whatever time you want as well.
Exactly. And salt beef... Like, that's a good lunch vibe, because it's definitely a lunchy item.
Yeah, but it's definitely not a buy in the morning and keep for your lunch.
No, it looks terrible.
It's been out for about an hour, and it's...
Doesn't look good, does it?
No.
A lot of beef in it, that.
Who's going first?
You go first. How are you attacking that? That's the thing. How are you attacking that? He's looking at it. He's rotating it.
This is too...
Mate, it's so beefy, man.
I want some pickle.
I am grateful that it's now nearly 10:30, because
Tell you what, it is good.
Yeah. Now it feels acceptable to eat that. At 8 a.m, I don't think I could have stomached it.
Oh, it's delicious. It's so good. It feels dirty, but not that dirty in a really weird way. It looks so much dirtier than it actually is. Very satisfying. Good, like, value lunch option, East London.
You know when salt beef just kind of melts away in your mouth?
No, honestly. Doesn't feel stodgy, doesn't feel heavy, doesn't feel dirty, not that greasy. It also uses the bagel better because I feel like the bagel is quite thick. And with the salt, with that volume of salt beef in it, just kind of takes away from that a little bit. Very enjoyable.
Mm. I think most people generally, if they've heard of Bagel Bake, which I think most people probably will have, if you're going to go there, that's what you're going for.
Yeah.
And I think this is testament to just stick to what they're famous for.
Yeah.
If you go, get the salmon and cream cheese or get the salt beef.
Yeah, do
Don't
not
stray away from any either of those.
Nah, do not get the egg and do not get the egg and cheese.
They did have some like peanut butter and Nutella ones.
Nah, I don't want that.
But frankly, I don't. No. For me, the bagels aren't good enough to justify just having that on it.
Nah, I agree with that. I agree. Bagel Bake, East London. Done it. Nailed it. Completed. You've done it. You've experienced it. I've been before. I haven't experienced it with you. Maybe we'll have to go back. Okay, we're not going to be back next week because we'll be Christmasing.
Christmasing indeed.
Much like most of you. So if you want to go back and listen to episodes, old episodes, tell your family about it, tell your friends about it, etc., 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 please do that.
It's absolutely fantastic Christmas lunch chat.
Unbelievable chat. Really, really, in the background, if anything.
Get it on.
Turn the Christmas music off.
Turn the Queen's speech down.
Turn set meals up.
Turn the set meals speech up.
We will be recording stuff over Christmas, but we don't know what to do with the content just yet.
It's almost like we have no idea what we're doing.
No idea. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you for a solid set meals a year. We'll be back shortly.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas!
This is Acast Recommends. Every week we pick one of our favorite shows, and this is one we think you're going to love.
Abuse of Power is a new podcast that examines the ways the United States legal system has been used to take advantage of the very people that it's supposed to protect.
I've been incarcerated in 31 years for a homicide and robbery I did not commit.
He said, I know that you're lying and you just need to confess.
I wondered, how the hell did I get in this situation?
The state does not want to admit that they executed an innocent man.
Subscribe to Abuse of Power on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast is home to the biggest podcasts from the U.S. and around the world. Subscribe to this show and hundreds more now via Acast or wherever you get your podcasts.